Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got up. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, I'ma win as a turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Rustin' Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I'm Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I'm Matt, and I have a trading problem.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to session 409 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, where even though the network went away, the DAP's always here to stay. And Rocky's running late, so we're going to get started without him. He'll join us in a little bit, but we have Matt Price joining us. Matt, thanks for coming back. How are you?
Doing well, man. It's glad to be back. It's been, I guess, a year, huh? Probably around this time last year.
Yeah. That's usually how long it is with some of our big guests. So, thanks for coming back on. Yeah. And you know, it's so, as people know, we recorded a little early last week, so we have some news to catch up on. We hit the main stuff last week, kind of the big Monday swell, but there was a lot going on since then. So, before we get into that though, Matt, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Matt Price. You can find me at DynastyLeagueFootball.com. Mostly podcast now. Occasionally you'll see me write something, but mostly just show up and talk like today. And on Twitter or X, sorry, at Matt Price FF, but you know, kind of a lurker there. But if you do send me a message or something, I'll probably respond.
We're a Twitter podcast. It's okay. We still say Twitter.
I do too, but you know, it's like, we're like, what, are we like 2 years into this and we still can't? Like, yeah. You still do the Twitter, I mean X or whatever, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
All right. Well, we can get into the news, and I kind of sorted it by position like I did last week, but there was two guys we had to start with because they are the Trade Addicts guys, right? Rocky and I have been big Kyler guys, and Rocky's a big Waddle guy, so we'll get his opinion when he jumps on, but we can start for now. Waddle to the Broncos for a first, Matt. Among other things, there was a pick swap, there was a third, blah, blah, blah. But he, I think, has a year left on his deal. I should probably look that while you talk. But what are you doing with Waddle, Sutton now? We'll start with those two, and then we can get to the Dolphins and kind of these surrounding pieces.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of feels like, I know you didn't say this player, but it feels like, hey, Marvin Mims is kind of not like the fast guy that we thought he was necessarily. Doesn't do a lot of the underneath stuff that Waddle can do. So it kind of feels like an upgrade on Mims, so to speak, in the starting lineup. So yeah, I mean, I like it. You know, Peyton likes his fast guys, and he's going to use them well. Between him and Sutton, I mean, certainly in Dynasty, I prefer Waddle from a pure production standpoint. I probably would still take Waddle. Like, Cortland Sutton is going to be kind of more of a touchdown dependent kind of guy, I think, in this kind of new look offense. So, yeah, I think in, you know, both production wise and Dynasty value wise, I think I prefer Waddle to Sutton, or really any of the other wide receivers on the team.
I agree with that. And Sutton, I think last year was, his numbers kind of lied to you, right? He wasn't very efficient with what he did, but his touchdowns were there. And is this offense good enough to support two wide receivers? Yes. But you just have to, the problem is Sutton's getting older and he's not executing as well as he used to on some of his big plays. So I agree with you. Would you trade a 26 first for Waddle? Let's call it outside that kind of first tier after Sadiq. Call it, like, you know, six down.
I think I would probably want to be more like nine down if I was going to make that move. But you know, I think that's a fair ask, certainly. After after the big 3 to 4 wide receivers. I mean, to me, it would be kind of a toss up, like who's on the board at 1-7, let's say. Like if Concepcion's there, I'm probably going to take Concepcion.
Yeah.
But you know, there's scenarios where I would make the move for the 107 ish range, but probably more like the 109 down.
Okay. And then I guess kind of the second part of this question is, who's your favorite Dolphin wide receiver if you have one? So there's Ryan Tolbert and Atwell this past week, and Malik Washington is obviously back. He was more special teams, but he played well in Tyreek's absence. So are we all on the Malik Washington train?
Man, you said Malik Washington, and of course I'm going to the quarterback Willis.
Well, him too,
That poor guy, you know, like he's like, oh sweet, I get to start. Oh wait, I have no wide receivers at all to throw to. So I mean, this is a tough one. I think the number one wide receiver is whoever they take at 11. I mean, I assume that's what they will do. If they don't, this is going to be him and Achan are just going to run the ball like 45 times a game. Maybe you get too involved on jet sweeps and stuff like that. Otherwise, it feels like this is going to be rough from a passing numbers standpoint if they don't take a guy at 11, right? So, I'm not going to make a decision between any of the guys that are currently on the roster, I don't think. Achan does you know, maybe there's a scenario with him where he really is the de facto wide receiver one. He has like a Christian McCaffrey-esque season in terms of volume, right? Like, so like that's the bull case for him. The bad case for him is that, you know, we have these rushing quarterbacks and we know often they would rather take off and run than throw the ball to a running back. So like, it's really tough. Like, I kind of want to divest of maybe, you know, at least a third of my Achan shares or something like that.
And well, since that was kind of the next question, he says, what to do with the remaining HN, pronounced ETN. I thought that was a funny joke. Shares. What would you deal him for?
Yeah, I mean, I'd still really want a premium, like a first and another running back. Like if I'm trying to stay within the position, like a tier downgrade or something like that with a first on top. If I'm doing strictly picks, which I don't think I would do, I'm probably looking at least like two firsts and maybe a prospect or something.
So would you do that, or would you try and tear down one spot at running
back? I would prefer to tear down if I'm in a competition window. Like, can I move to Taylor and a late first or something like that? Like, that's maybe not far enough. I'm not sure, but you know,
what about like Chase Brown?
Yeah, that would require a pretty good first, like in that top 7 to 8 picks for sure. But yeah, that might be an option.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to be hesitant to give him away, and
it might be a mistake. Like I
fully recognize that scares me a little bit. Yeah.
The talent, like we know what the ceiling is. And like, if he, for some reason does like still get that crazy volume and like, you know, there is some like evidence that the rushing part of a game with a rushing quarterback, like there adds some efficiency there, but typically it's bad for a reception standpoint. So that's a little scary.
Yep. And you know, Schefter and Ari Mirov and all those guys are saying, you know, it's not a guarantee Achan's going to be on the Dolphins, right? The Seahawks still need someone. And
that's a good point. If that's the case,
a couple really other running backs.
I hope they told Malik Willis they were doing this when they signed
him. Me too.
Like maybe he didn't care. He was just like, yeah, you know, this is my one chance for a big payday and I'm going to take it. But like, man, what a rough go if they did not talk to him about this.
Yeah. Imagine he's looking up at Pittsburgh right now with DK and Pittman and the running backs. Yeah. And he's like, I could have been on that team. So, all right, well, let's get to Kyler. 1 year prove it deal. He got cut last week and then signed. So I said, now what do we do? And the way Dynasted put it is he the most single volatile asset in 2026. It feels like if he can't succeed in Minneapolis, he's done forever. But if he goes back to elite fantasy, then he should get another big new contract and be worth multiple firsts again, which I don't disagree with. If he's a good quarterback this year, I think he's going to be back to being top 12 quarterback again. So are you buying low? Are you selling high on all the hype? What are you doing with Kyler?
Yeah, I'm definitely buying. If I can get him for a late first, I'm probably not willing to go too much higher than that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, ideally you're paying a couple of seconds, but I just don't think that's going to happen. That's probably, you probably could have got him for, you know, a single second 2 weeks ago, right? So, yeah, like I'm a Kyler believer for sure, and this is certainly the best opportunity for him to resurrect his career, so to speak. And to me, signing here with that cheap deal was like $1 million. I know he's getting paid $35 million or whatever from the Cardinals, but he probably could have gone out and got another $30 million on top of that if he wanted to. And for him to kind of go to Minnesota and take that, you know, basically nominal deal just to be able to play with a better team and give himself a better opportunity to set him up for the next contract, you know, that says to me he still wants to play football, and hopefully he's going to take it seriously.
Yeah. And O'Connell did come out just to avoid all doubt, saying like Kyler is going to have a chance to start. He is going to compete.
I would hope so.
Yeah, I would hope so too. So the last QB on the carousel is kind of Kirk Cousins when we look at the rest of this news, but where do you think he ends up? And are you buying now with the thought he could be a Steeler or something like that?
Oh, geez. Yeah. I mean, it feels like that has to be Rodgers there. And gosh, I'm sorry, I'm blanking on any other spots that are currently.
The Raiders were apparently interested to have him bridge to Mendoza.
Yeah, that could certainly work. The Raiders are kind of where quarterbacks and wide receivers go to die. It feels right. like sometimes, you know. So that would make sense. Yeah, I was hoping he'd be back with Minnesota, but obviously Kyler's a better move there from a ceiling standpoint. You know, Cleveland, I guess, is still potential, but like it just seems like wherever else he goes is going to be probably a backup situation, at least to start, or like you mentioned, a bridge kind of quarterback situation. Like the window for him to be, I think, a full-time starter is kind of closed unless for some reason Rodgers doesn't go back to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's the other rumor, is that he's the backup plan for Pittsburgh if Rodgers doesn't go. And Rodgers is doing his whole stupid, I don't know what I'm going to do yet.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh thinks for some reason either one of these guys are going to be true competitors. You know, like they're fooling themselves into another 8-9 season. You know,
I know Flacco has been rumored to go back, but I could see Cincinnati throwing money at Cousins, and Burrow's not necessarily the picture of health. So, you could have him come in and be your backup, and someone you know can help you win games. So. I would be okay with that if that were where he ends up. Okay. Yeah. Let's get to the QB news. Daniel Jones is back. This was basically the first news on Tuesday, so this has been a while. But back to the Colts on a two-year, $88 million extension, up to $100 million, $50 million guaranteed. And he is expected to start be back for the start of the season. So are you asking for – I guess are you buying or selling first?
I don't know. I'm probably just holding. I don't know if I have any of them, but if I do, I'm probably just going to hold. To me, this is kind of nuts that they're spending 200 and whatever million dollars on Daniel Jones and Alec Pierce. So like this whole thing is, you guys probably already talked about Pierce, but man, that much money wrapped up in those two players feels pretty scary.
I think New England got in their kitchen on that, on Alec Pierce. I think New England got up and made him overspend.
But, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. But yeah, I mean, I mean, it's hard if you rewind back to week 10, you know, he led the league in passing and the Colts were 8-2. So, you know, who knows, the weirder things could happen, will happen than Daniel Jones, like becoming, I guess, the quarterback that Indianapolis needs.
Is he worth a first right now?
I mean, that's probably what he costs, but I'm not paying that. I don't think I'd even pay a second, honestly.
Wow. Okay.
Maybe that's, I mean, that's probably way too cheap. I understand that, but like, I don't know. I know he says it's going to be ready for the start of the season, but I just think that a lot of Daniel Jones' NFL game, not necessarily that he's going to add like a ton of fantasy points on the ground or anything, but like the mobility to get out and extend the plays, like that to me is going to be affected by this injury, even if he is back to the start. So like if he comes back and disappoints for 3 to 4 weeks in the season, and I want to take a chance then when the price is lower, and maybe I think the end of the season is going to be better, or maybe even the following year is going to be better, then I think I would probably just rather wait to see, because I think the downside for his value is much higher than his upside.
Yep. I agree. And and to your point, Kirk Cousins and Rodgers were both, you know, quote unquote back by the season, and neither of them looked particularly good in the first couple games. So, okay. And speaking of the Jets, Geno Smith, the return, the reunion, everyone's so excited. You know, the rumor is Wentz will be his backup. I don't think he's officially signed, but that's the rumor. And for those who forgot Frank Reich is the offensive coordinator now, and he was with him in Indianapolis, I want to say. Wentz and him crossed paths somewhere. So this is quite an ugly QB room, but in my opinion, and then I'll throw it to you, like, this is the best QB room Garrett Wilson has ever had, shockingly. So does this, you know, give you any confidence in Garrett Wilson? Because I understand the rest of the offense is just kind of blah, yeah, except for Breece, but.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I mean, I actually think Geno's in a pretty decent situation. I think you may, outside of Bowers, you know, and Bowers was really, you know, not really Bowers last season. Like, he didn't have a ton to work with, and I think he's got a lot more to work with here with Wilson, like you mentioned. And, you know, I think he can probably hook up with A.D. Mitchell if he's got his head on straight. And mm-hmm. I really like Mason Taylor. So, you know, there's stuff here, I think, to be successful. But for Wilson specifically, yeah, I still like him the same. To me, he's always like, he's kind of like, for at least, I guess, his rookie season, his value was elevated a little bit more. But, you know, since then, he feels like the same kind of like, yeah, he's like a first and a little bit more. You know, first mm-hmm. and a half, a first and a second, a first and a player kind of value for him. And that's where he is. And that's, I think that's where his production will lie. You know, he'll be if he's healthy, 1100, 1200 yard receiver, I think is, you know, a medium outcome for him. So yeah, I still like him. And I think Geno is certainly, you know, at least it provides some stability, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Would you give a second for Geno?
No, I did buy for the 304 a couple of weeks ago in a thing.
Oh, good job. But so that, yeah, was like, before the trade, clearly.
That was before the trade. Yeah, I don't think I would pay a second for him now, but, yeah, you know, desperate times. It's always the question of what else can you get for that second? If you can get, like, you know, can't get another quarterback, I guess, Geno, sure, for a second if you have to. But yeah, third mm-hmm. is probably appropriately valued for him.
Would you rather have Garrett Wilson or his compatriot, who he's been basically tied to since they were drafted, Chris Olave?
I think I'd rather have Chris Olave. I just trust that situation more, you know, with Kellen Moore and the fast-paced offense, and Tyler Shuck can play apparently. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I think I want Olave.
Does it's that close, change?
If- They're always tied next to each other, right?
Yeah. Does that change if Tyson goes 9?
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, probably. Probably. Yeah,
so too. Okay. Getting to the running backs. First off, the press conference for this was great. I don't know if you saw Pacheco's press conference.
I did not.
He was like saying Dan Campbell basically screamed at him over the phone to sign him. So, but Pacheco's taking the Montgomery role, essentially. Yeah. So what does this do for Gibbs? Are you scared off of him at all at RB1? And then what are you doing with Pacheco?
No, Gibbs to the moon. This is like the same role as Montgomery, but a worse player, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it's deeper than that, but to me, that's exactly what it feels like. Montgomery was more of a threat to catch any passes and take kind of that role away from, you know, eat into that role of Gibbs, and that's not a concern with Pacheco at all, I think. You know, maybe a little bit of stuff on the goal line, but – you know, it's not like Pacheco was a world beater there anyway. So, no, I think this is a good thing for Gibbs.
Yeah, I agree completely. Do you consider Pacheco to be startable in like a start 12?
Maybe like the last click in a,
yeah,
you know, multi-flex league situation. Yeah. But, yeah,
but he's not Montgomery, set it, forget it type of guy. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, he might become that, you know, maybe the role does become more than we think it is, but mm-hmm. that's not in week one in any way.
Agreed. I put this in the major news simply because of the opportunity, but Emmanuel Wilson's basically the only healthy running back on the Seahawks right now. And he was not a bad player for Green Bay when he had the opportunity. So let's just live in a world where they don't trade for HN or take anyone major in the first couple rounds here. Are you happy with Emmanuel Wilson as an RB2 until Charbonnet comes back?
You mean like a consistent producing fantasy RB2? I'm not sure about that, but I do like him quite a bit. I'm a Packers fan, so I'm pretty familiar with Wilson, and like his size, he's way bigger than you think. He's like 223 pounds and catches the mm-hmm. ball really well. So, I mean, he could do a decent, you know, Charbonnet impression, honestly. So, Yeah, I don't know if I'm trusting him as a every week RB2 while Charbonnet's out, but I definitely would like to have him on my roster for sure. I don't know if I'm paying a second. Maybe you could talk me into a late second, but you know, I don't think it's really it's basically a minimum deal. Like it's it's a $2 million 1 year proven deal, really. Like so, yep. And George Helani was involved last season and probably will be involved while Charbonnet's out. So you know, I don't think this is like a clear like, okay, Charbonnet's out, so Emmanuel Wilson's getting everything kind of situation.
Mm-hmm. And apparently Schneider likes blanking on the name. What's the Arkansas guy's name? Mike Washington, I think.
Oh yeah, I mean
yeah. Apparently Schneider likes him a lot, so. That could be someone who could come in and take a role away, but I agree. I think until Charbonnet comes back, who knows? But like, I think it's a very narrow target to hit if you want to trade a second. Like, you have to be contending, and you have to basically be the Charbonnet owner to me. And then maybe, but like even then, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I love the player, but the situation I don't think is as good as we think it is.
No, I don't think so. I basically put the backfield wreckers all together. Chris Rodriguez to the Jags. Reminder, he played for Liam Cohen at Kentucky. Keaton Mitchell to the Chargers. Rashad White and Jerome Ford to the Commanders. I put Justin Fields as a backfield wrecker because that's what he's going to be on this team probably, along with Amari DiMercato. So let's just, before we get to Dinosaur's question on here, the biggest loser from these signings is who in your mind?
The biggest loser.
Like, who's wrecked the most, if any? The easy answer is probably Bill, right? Just anyone on the just Commanders.
I guess, but like, these aren't like, unless they've just decided that they are not interested in Bill being their workhorse or whatever, then yeah. But otherwise, these are like depth signings to me. I know Rashad White had his day before Bucky and even a little bit into Bucky. He's a good pass catcher, and Bill is, you know, a serviceable, like that's complimentary to his pass catching. So there's that part of the role. And the same with Ford, you know, he could be certainly take some like 2 minute drill kind of stuff. Like he's a very good back in that kind of role. But honestly, like this is a good, I think is like, unless you think he's gonna go get Jeremiah Love or something at 5 or whatever they pick, somewhere
I think they're like 7,
six or 7, whatever it is. Unless you think they're gonna get him, like, I mean, there are way worse competition for Bill that they could have brought in. So, like, I don't really know if any of these guys are necessarily losers. I think some people think that Tutin is a loser here, but because of the whole coaching thing, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. Like, again, like on paper, it seems like the best possible scenario, unless they're going to go out and bring somebody else in. Like, okay, Chris Rodriguez is going to take some early down stuff. So what? Like, that's not why we want Tutin. We want Tutin because he's explosive and can catch passes and can be efficient with his touches, you know? And Chris Rodriguez has 6 career receptions in the NFL and only averaged 4 per season in 5 collegiate seasons. So, I'm just not that worried. I mean, maybe he gets squeezed with the touchdowns with Rodriguez and the receptions with LaQuen Allen. But like, to me, again, both of these situations for the starter are pretty ideal in terms of who they could have brought in, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to attach Dennis Dodd's question to this because I thought it was relevant. I thought it was a good question. How much do the differences in low to mid-tier contracts matter to you in player evaluations? For example, is Chris Rodriguez now worth more in Dynasty or redraft even than Rashad White?
You mean like the dollar value?
So he's saying Chris Rodriguez got $12 million and Rashad White, I think, got like $2 million. So does that make Rodriguez more valuable in Dynasty to you?
I mean, you could say that. You feel like there's a little more security there, I guess. But again, they're like, you know, we're like really splitting hairs here. I think I like Emmanuel Wilson's $2 million deal, you know, like, you know, almost a minimum or whatever, and $12 million is a little bit more than that, I guess. But I don't know. What do you think? I think Mike, maybe by like the 211 to the 208 or something. Like, you know,
My answer to this would be, I think it used to, but the cap's gone up by so much that $12 million is the same as $2 million right now because they can afford it all.
Yeah, I think it's like a lot of things. Like when you're playing, when you're like, if you play in a league that play, you play fantasy defenses with, like, you know, mm-hmm. like you care about the ones that are the top two or three ones, and you don't want to avoid the ones that are the bottom two or three. So like similar to me with these contracts, like, yes, like a Javonte Williams or a J.K. Dobbins, that's definitely a tier above. And Travis Etienne even a tier above that. Right. But when you're talking about these like two versus six versus whatever million deals, like I'm probably not going to be making any decisions based on that, you know?
Yeah. By the way, side note on what you just said, I loved that, by the way, because people are like, so is Trevor Achan too, like the Panthers?
Yeah, I want them to ask Trevor. I want them to ask Trevor if this is true. Like, we need a second opinion on this.
Yeah. So funny. All right, let's get to the biggest move of the last week, and that's Dubs to the Patriots, 3 years, $60 million. As of now, because Diggs is gone, he's the wide receiver one pending. I didn't put AJ Brown whispers on there, but there were a whole lot of them this weekend, and nothing came out of it. But let's assume we live in a world right now where AJ Brown is not a Patriot. What are you doing with Dubs?
I think he's about the same. You know, I guess you can argue. I think you can argue there's less target competition, but it's not mm-hmm. like Booty wasn't involved, and DeMario Davis is not going to be involved. To me, it's like almost mm-hmm. a very similar situation to on the Packers, except for maybe he is, you know, maybe the preferred option instead of hoping that Christian Watson or Matthew Golden is going to work out and take over mm-hmm. an alpha kind of role. And Dubs just became that reliable kind of guy. But this is not like an elite target earner, I don't think. Like, maybe he's a fantasy, like, wide receiver too on a more consistent basis. But I mean, this is, I don't know. If you could buy him for a second or sell him for a second. You know, I think mm-hmm. that's kind of what we're looking at with him. I don't really have any aspirations for him, like hitting some kind of top five, top 10 kind of production ceiling, you know?
Yep. I agree with that. I think there are going to be a lot of people who put Dubs on a pedestal right now. And if you find those people, you should sell him for first immediately. Cause they will trade that.
Yeah.
And if you can get any first for him, I would do that quickly.
Even a first next year, I would do that.
Yeah. That's the problem. Next year is like a better draft. So like this year's picks are actually worth less this year somehow. But it's like value money is upside down.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I put this on here just because of the connection. Darnell Mooney, 1 year, $10 million with the Giants. He was with Nagy in Chicago. And then Dennis had asked, is it bad that I'm mildly excited about the Giants signing Mooney? No, I guess not. But it depends on what they do at five. If they get Tate, then Mooney's he's worthless. But if they go Jeremiah Love, which he's going to get to a question on that later, and like doesn't want that, then I know it's going to kill a lot of Scatabo people. But anything on Mooney? I like the fit. Just
I guess. I mean, like, maybe I'm missing something. Is Darius Slay gone? Because they're kind of going to play a similar role. Mooney was supposed to be good last year in an elevated role, and he wasn't. I know he had, you know, injuries here and there, banged up in and out of the lineup. But I don't know. I don't think he's really been amazing since that one season with the Bears. And if you want to hold on to that, and I mean, I don't know. I don't even know that I want to pay a third for Darnell Mooney. You know, so yeah, you could be excited, but.
So believe it or not, I think he was a top 24 wide receiver last year. Not last year? 24 in 20. No, not in 25.
24. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, okay.
When he was when London was out with the Falcons a bunch. And
yeah.
But he's clearly talented. He's not better than Neighbors, and he's not better than whatever guy they're going to draft. So he's Slayton. Right. To your point. They might just cut Slayton and replace him with Mooney
or Jalen Hyatt or whatever. I mean, it's different, but same, you know,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think Mooney's going to be fine, but like, he's not going to be winning you anything.
Yeah. You're not, don't lose any sleep.
No. And then I just put Hollywood Brown. He's going to Philly. If they trade AJ, this might be something circling back on, but for now, I think he's just the third guy, and we'll see what they do with AJ Brown.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Yeah, I feel like he's had better opportunities than here, and whether you want to say it's just to be an injury or whatever, but he has not been able to capitalize on them. Right. But yeah.
The tight ends actually had some interesting ones. Chig Okonkwo, 3 years, $30 million with the Commanders. Ertz, you know, ripped his knee to pieces in basically the last game of the season. So we don't know when he's coming back. So does Chig do anything for you? He's been athletic. He's been pretty good in Tennessee. He's never really lived up to whatever expectations he's had, but any excitement for Okonkwo at all?
Yeah. I mean, right now I'm sure they're going to draft somebody, or I mean, I assume they're going to they're not going to battle with their current wide receiver group outside of McLaurin. Right. So like, as of right now, he's the second target in the offense. He has quietly had three straight 50 or more reception seasons. So I think he could be productive if they decide they want to use him as a weapon, and this contract kind of indicates that they do. So yeah, we've seen these athletic tight ends over and over who have taken 3-5 years to really kind of solidify their abilities on the field, right? So he's right in that window. He's only, I believe, 25 or 26 years old still. So came in the league very young. So this seems good. Ben Sennett, we hardly knew you.
I know. Just trade him away or something. Like, let him go do well somewhere. And then I just put Tonjes back to the Niners on a 2-year deal. As long as Kittle's out, he scored you points. He's not worth anything meaningful, but if you have him, you should be happy about this. And I wouldn't trade much for him, but you have a probably starting tight end as long as Kittle's out with Tonjes playing. So
yeah, absolutely. One of the best free agent pickups all last season for me was Jake Tonjes for sure. Nothing bad to say. Glad he got paid. It makes sense for him to come back if hopefully Kittle is right, but if not, they'll be fine with Tonjes.
Yep. And then Goddard went back to Philly along with Calcaterra and Johnny Munt. They signed three tight ends in like 4 days. It was just my thoughts on Goddard before I give it to you is just he can't repeat what he did last year. Oh, had the touchdown regression. He's like standing on top of the pedestal above everybody in history, like on regression coming.
Was it Petula, Kevin Petula?
Yep.
I think was the OC is, his buddy basically, right? Like, it decided to feature Goddard and their offense over AJ Brown and Devontae Smith. And I just can't imagine that's going to happen again. Maybe AJ Brown is gone and it's Devontae Smith's show, and then he bumps up in the pecking order. Goddard does. Mm-hmm. Goddard's a fine tight end for fantasy, but he's not going to repeat what he did last season. I don't think.
He had 60 catches and 11 touchdowns. That's wild. I mean,
it's like Mark Bo Richter.
Or what was the Browns guy? Barnage? Barnwell?
Oh, yeah. Gary Barnage. Yeah.
Who had like 14 touchdowns or something ridiculous. Yeah. Went to the Pro Bowl and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I just have the minor news. Can group them all together. And if anything calls out to you, you can talk about it. But Sam Howell to the Cowboys. That's fine backup. Sure. Sure. Aaron Jones is staying in Minnesota after restructuring his deal. Sean Tucker had the ERFA tag with the Bucks. I don't exactly know what that means, but it's some sort of restricted free agent tag.
Yeah.
Sky Moore.
That one is interesting, I think, because I don't know about you. I guess maybe you guys, I don't know if you guys talked about Kenneth Gainwell and Bucky Irving, but like Bucky Irving is very scary to me now. Like I would like to get out of Bucky for a reasonable price if I can, because with Gainwell coming in for the receptions and now Sean Tucker was already replacing Bucky at the goal line last season, like he's going to get squeezed so hard, I think.
Yeah, I know. It stinks too, because Bucky showed a lot to start and he's kind of trailed off. Part of me wants them to trade him, but I don't think they're going to.
Yeah.
Sky Moore to the Packers. I just said LOL in big letters.
Oh, God. God, why?
They're made for each other.
Just in case Jaden Reed goes down, we're going to throw him out there for 30% of the snaps. I mean,
or Christian Watson, or.
Please don't.
Sorry. And then John Metchie to the Panthers. Sure, fine. He's another depth piece. Van Jefferson and De'Ami Brown to the Commanders. Christian Kirk to the Niners. Is that any. Does that give you any interest?
Kind of. I mean, if Pearsall can, like, not, you know, get his stuff together and stay on the field for, you know, the majority of the season, it's just, to me, it feels like a backup plan for that happening again. So the versatile kind of weapon that you're going to move around the field if something was to happen to Pearsall again. So maybe, but yeah.
Dalton Knox back to the Bills on a 3-year deal. He belongs with them. And
good luck, Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah, right. And Pat Ricard to the Giants. He's a great fullback. He's going to be great for Scadabo or Jeremiah Love if they take him. Hi, Rocky.
Hi, I'm here.
Hey.
What I miss?
Just the news.
I'm Rocky Petrella and I have a training problem.
Rocky, I'm going to hit you with the lightning round for the two TA guys. Would you trade a first for Waddle and the Broncos?
In this draft, yes.
I think Matt said kind of 109. Would you do that?
Yes.
Okay. Would you rather have
traded 27 first?
Probably not. Would you rather have Waddle or Sutton?
I gotta say Waddle.
Okay. Is Kyler worth a first to you now? Before we see anything else,
I'm curious what you guys said.
I don't think I actually asked Matt that direct question.
Yeah, I would definitely.
He's worth the late first. Yeah.
I mean, if I'm looking for a quarterback in this draft, I would, and like I'm competing, I would rather have him than the Mendoza for year one, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, someone sent me Kyler for 106 and a second. And that I would not do.
Yes.
No, that's too high.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the last thing we talked about, are you trying to get out of Achane or some of your shares given what the Dolphins are becoming?
I mean, I guess it always depends on price, but I'm always a big proponent of bad offenses are not good for anybody. I don't care how good you are. But, I mean, in theory, they're probably just going to dump him the ball a lot. And
that was Matt's point. Yeah. McCaffrey in Miami.
Yeah, and then he's going to get pretty much all the workload. No, I'm not. I'm holding. I'm not trying to get rid of him.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's kind of everything on that. Was there any news that you saw this week that you took away that was interesting to you before we move on? Big names, kind of dubs, one, Daniel Jones.
But that's going to come up in the one trade we have. So that one was mildly
interesting
to me, but yeah.
All right. Well, let's get, Matt, we normally have the guest decide, but there's only one trade. So we'll rip the trade and then go to questions.
Sure.
TradeX leagues are 12 teams, Superflex, PPR, Titan Premium with 1.75 per Titan reception, 0.05 per return yard in all leagues except TA1. And we don't have a TA1 trade. We have a TA8 trade. Rashad White for the 406 and a 28 second. New commander, Rashad White. What do you think, Matt?
Oh, I want the second for sure.
Oh, okay.
That was kind of my reaction. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm just, the fact that it's 28.
I know it's so far out, but like, I don't think Rashad White's worth a second. So that's.
Yeah, I totally get that. I do think he could get volume in Washington. It's not a trade I'd want to make right now, for sure. So I'd probably reject it if I got this and then think about doing something like that closer to the season. But I'm slightly intrigued by Rashad White in Washington. Again, if the offense can get back on track, if Jaden Daniels is rookie Jaden Daniels, some running back's going to benefit. And I think it might be him.
The other
He's better between the tackles than JCM?
I'm not a big JCM guy, so I don't think he's any worse. I think, again, it's all going to depend on how that offense looks because we don't know what Jaden Daniels is going to be like this year. So that's a big question mark. So I get it. Like I said, I don't think I don't think you're crazy for wanting the second or anything. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I wouldn't make that trade now. There's no reason to make that trade in March, I don't think, for a running back.
Especially before the draft.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about you guys, but the fact that they haven't said anything about Daniels is kind of freaking me out a little bit. That we haven't heard anything about.
No news is good news. Don't put that out there. No news is good news. All right.
I know. That's fair.
I've heard love to Washington too. So I mean,
I've
love
heard that a couple of times too. Yeah.
The so three places love's being tied to are Washington, New York, and Tennessee. And I believe they're 4, 5, 6, all right next to each other.
I feel like they should take the wide receiver if they're going weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there's you have this quarterback. You should probably help him out. I don't know the offensive line situation, but, you know.
About the same as last year, I think. They got Tunsil back and, you know, a couple of other guys, but I think it's about the same. Rocky, the other question we asked before was, would you rather have Garrett Wilson with Geno at the helm or Olave? With Shuck and everyone coming back.
Yeah, I would rather have Olave at this point, even though I'm not a big Olave guy. Yeah, it's Geno's... Wild. It's Geno.
No, I know, but you and I was just laughing about this because you and I left Waddle or Olave for dead a year ago.
And he did have such a good year. Like, he had a really good year last year, and Shuck looks decent, and Geno Smith is Geno Smith, so yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm having deja vu about an Olave fight last year on the show.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah, we're generally both not pro-Olave, so probably.
Yeah. My qualifications still stand. He's exactly where he should be unless Tyson goes to New Orleans, and then we're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
So, okay. Dynastud's last couple of questions. He said, how much are the Lemon Tyson Hives praying that their guy doesn't land in Miami? On the other hand, is that landing spot secretly a blessing because they land as the easy wide receiver one? And then let's do that, and then we'll go to Dulcich.
I mean, look at what it just did for Tet. And if you think that he's as good a prospect as Tet, which I think he's probably a better prospect than Tet. Well, maybe not better, but pretty close to the same. Huh? Sorry?
Which one is better than Tet?
Tyson. Wait, who's the other option?
Lemon. He said Lemon or Tyson.
Oh, sorry. I missed the Lemon one. No, I think I want Tet over Lemon for sure.
Yeah. This is the Garrett Wilson fallacy, right? I mean, the number one wide receiver on a really bad offense is just going to get targeted like crazy.
I mean, he did.
Yeah. So.
The Jets, I feel, are a different situation. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think it's fine. I think it's okay.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, and I mean, it's – first of all, everyone seems to love Malik Willis. So,
yeah.
is that a 1 year? That's a 2 year thing, right? Like,
I think it's three that year two. I think it's three that's actually two,
right? They can get out after year two,
yeah.
So you're stuck with Willis for 2 years. I mean, Willis is serviceable, and then you don't know what that quarterback situation could even change within a year for all we know. I don't know how feasible that is, or maybe they draft a rookie and he takes over for Willis in year two. So
I think I would prefer them to take someone like Tate. You know, I do really like Tyson quite a bit, but to me, he's the one that profiles as like the, like, if you want to just go get and you have one wide receiver, like, to me, it's on your team, you know, it's Tate, you know, unless you are just going to do a ton of scheming and like creative stuff to get Tyson like involved. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm off there, but I feel like Tate is like the prototypical kind of like guy you're looking to fill that kind of role, and Tyson is somebody who you want to be a major part of your offense, but maybe not in a situation where it's as bleak as it is in Miami. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They should just get Chris Bell and do a bunch of 5'9" little sure. fast guys. That would be funny. I agree Bell. With that.
Skylar Bell.
Who's the Louisville guy?
Chris Bell is the big guy.
Oh, okay.
He's like 6'2", 220 or something.
Oh, okay. I thought he was a little guy. I knew he was fast.
Skylar is a little smaller.
Okay. Would you rather have Tyson on, let's do it this way. Would you rather have Tyson on Miami or New Orleans, where he's got a share?
New Orleans.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I agree with that because I think Shuck and Kellen Moore can sling it around.
But I think I would prefer Tate on Miami to on New Orleans.
What about to Washington? Because that's where Tate's being mocked a bunch.
Yeah, I think that would be fine. I think he does, you know, overlap with McLaurin a little bit, but 30 years old, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So.
And then he asked, is Greg Dulcich a crazy sleeper in tight end premium leagues, given the utter lack of weapons in Miami now? This was a Heath Cummings take like a week ago, is that Dulcich is like the biggest winner of all this.
Even before
Jalen Waddle was traded.
Did I miss like the Dulcich breakout or something? I mean,
apparently he did well, like his last couple games was Heath's point, but I didn't fact check him. I just assumed he was right because he usually is.
Yeah. But, I mean, sure. I guess I'm so. I imagine he's on a lot of waiver wires.
Yeah. 100%. Let's see here. He had, let's say in December, 3 for 41, 2 for 46, 3 for 46, 5 for 58, and 3 for 31. That's not nothing.
Okay.
It's pretty close, but it's not nothing. All right. Well, he could be, I guess. If you want to throw a fourth rounder for Dulcich, you know, God be with you. Go do it.
It's just, you know, you're looking for like with tight ends, like, I mean, I guess if you're just going to make the argument that he's like going to be a high volume receiver, then okay. Yeah. But otherwise, like with tight ends in that range, you're hoping for a touchdown. And how good is that offense going to be? You know?
Yeah, right. They're not going to score. Okay. He said, I ask all the time which offenses might be the ones who take the leap next season. But here's a fun twist. Which team that doesn't look great right now may be that team for you after we see what they do in the NFL draft?
Let me pull up a draft list real quick.
Washington.
So maybe? What team will be a surprise leap after the draft?
Yeah, like who doesn't look very good right now but could be after this draft is over?
I agree with you on Washington, but I don't necessarily know that's because of the draft. I think it's because of Daniels getting right, you know.
Yeah, I'm saying like add Tate and a running back again, like another running back maybe, and that's kind of my picture of it, but
yeah, I think that makes sense.
Tennessee. If they get Love in the backfield to go with Ridley, Io Manor, and
any of the receivers, yeah, I think that's a good one. I think the Giants is a good one if they get healthy plus add an impact player.
Oh, that's gonna hurt so many people if they take Love.
God, I will cry for my I can't even tell you how many Scattaboo shares I have. Like I think I'm like maybe every team, but like one or two.
Yeah. Here's an insane one. What about Cleveland?
I was going to say Cleveland, but are they? I mean,
you take Tyson. I'm not convinced they're
gonna, yeah, I just am not convinced they're going to do that. But sure, if they take a wish wide receiver, I mean, that's got to be good.
It's a tough question. I
just don't know if I see a surprise. You know, like what do you mean? Like how? Like take the leap next season, like to the playoffs.
We've been talking about the last couple of weeks is like, who's the Bears? The Bears went from nothing to top 10 quickly. And the two teams we've kind of pointed at are the Giants because Dart's coming back. They're adding Neighbors back.
And
they could get a wide receiver. And the other one was the Panthers. I know we've talked about a little bit.
I can see New Orleans, Tennessee.
Yep,
New Orleans. Like anyone with a quarterback you think could take a leap, really, right?
Yeah. What about the Raiders? Genty, Mendoza. They have to add a receiver somewhere, but
it's certainly possible. I'm not going to.
I know Mendoza's not the greatest quarterback prospect to ever come through the draft, but he's not a bad player. So
who is their top receiver? Not Trey Tucker, Jack Besh. Oh, they just paid whatever, like $30 million for Jalen Naylor.
That's
right. What is that about?
They'll draft someone in the second or third round, probably. There'll be a day two guy that they take that everyone's going to get overly excited about. Probably too excited. Wide receiver is Bowers.
Dante Thornton was interesting as a prospect, but didn't really pan out. Freaking Brendan Rice is on their team, apparently. you know.
What a hodgepodge of receivers.
It really is.
Okay.
The 12 with Mayer, and there you go.
That'd be great, Patriot style. And then I liked this question. He said, I feel like Matt has been asked about his most favorite and least favorite zoo animals before, so let's get crazy. What's the most average zoo animal? Not spectacular, but not a pain. Just solid, does the job, good citizen zoo animal.
I'd say like the petting zoo animals, like the goats. I mean, you know, nobody's going to be amazingly excited about a goat, but goats are pretty awesome, and they let you pet them and feed them and stuff. So, yeah, let's go with like a pygmy goat or something.
I like that. Okay. I don't have much else. Rocky, is there anything else in the news that you want to touch on since you jumped on late, or are we keeping it short?
I feel bad for hopping in so late, and we're already done. But yeah, I think I'm sure you guys covered it. So I think once we're under an hour.
Yeah, there we go. That's the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Matt, for coming on. Before we head on out, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah, thank you guys for having me again. Always a good time. Rocky, sorry I missed you, buddy. But
same here.
Hopefully next time. you can find me at DLF, DynastyLeagueFootball.com, the DLF Dynasty Football Podcast hosted by Ryan McDowell, Dan Myler, and myself every week. And sometimes I write. And then on X, you can find me at Matt Price FF, Blue Sky, Matt Price, maybe the same. I'm not sure. But yeah, thank you guys again for having me. It's always so fun.
Of course. Our stuff, some programming notes. I will be on QB List show with Jay Felicio on Thursday.
Awesome.
Doing a redraft, mock draft. So I have to learn redraft again real fast before I go do that, because I usually take all the young players by accident. And then on Friday, it's our turn. Herms brought this up when he was on, but Rocky, myself, Russ, and Tommy Blair will be on the Reddit AMA that Jeremy does, r/DynastyFF. So we will be on there Friday, I think around 1 Eastern. I'll put up the post when we go live and do that. So we will be answering questions. I'll probably have all the games on in the background, so I'll be on as long as y'all want me to answer questions. Rest of our stuff, patreon.com/TreyXPod. You can watch us while we record. We also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club, and of course the Fantasy Cares. The theme was announced, video games. Very quick, favorite video game of all time.
I can't do that. I'm just going to play the one I just finished, Obscura, Expedition 33.
So
if you're into like JRPG styles, like I'm not like I was a Final Fantasy kid and that kind of stuff, but man, this one is just so beautiful. Like it is just like there's not many games where you like turn up the soundtrack. This game is just beautiful from every possible angle. I don't know if it's my all-time favorite, but it is my favorite of the last 5 years, probably.
Yep, me too. Rocky?
I knew you were going to ask me. I am so the wrong person to ask this. I haven't played video games or something, in years. It probably would be Tecmo Bowl, honestly.
A great one.
I mostly have just played sports games and then like the normal boring, like from the 90s, like the Mario Brothers stuff. And in the 21st century, you know, I had kids right at the start of the 21st century. I've not been a big video game person. So I couldn't tell you any great video game from like the last 20 years. So I'm so the wrong person to ask, but I did love Tecmo Bowl back then. I still play Madden with my son, but I don't know if that's my favorite video game ever.
Go get Vampire Survivors, Robbie. Start there.
Okay.
Have you played that one, Frank?
No.
Oh, man. Okay. It's like a bullet. Have you ever heard of the bullet, like bullet hell kind of thing?
Yes. Like, it's like super timey.
But it's like roguelike. It's really, 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 really addicting and really fun. And like $8 or something.
Okay.
Maybe it is Tecmo. I just realized I have a Tecmo Bowl themed league. So maybe it is Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah. Rocky just found his division this year. I am with you, Matt, on Clair Obscur. I played through it twice. I finally, after like 6 months, got my wife to start playing it, and she can't put it down. And she's not a big gamer by any means, so she's into it. And then I did the FF7 remake and rebirth. So I'm waiting for the third one to come out.
The one thing, was there anything that bothered you about Clair Obscur? There was one thing that really bothered me. And it, to me, maybe it's just because I was obsessed with doing like every single side quest. But by the time I got to the last boss, I one-shotted all three phases. And I was like, was it supposed to be this easy?
So I'm too stupid to realize you could have done all the Pictos until like a couple weeks ago. So I only had painted power on. This is super nerdy, guys. It's the end of the show. If you don't like this, turn it off. But if I didn't realize you could have painted power on everyone until like 2 weeks ago when I was finishing the second playthrough. So I actually made it a lot harder on myself until a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. So, it was like one shot dead. I was like,
yeah.
Anyway,
but yeah, that the theme was announced. It's going to be an awesome theme. They've already put out some cool shirts. They have the bracket challenges open that starts Thursday, obviously. And then the shows, Dynasty Hootenannies on Thursday nights, Trivia Tuesday nights, Wednesday night hangout. I'm sure there will be some shenanigans with the bracket challenge and everything going on tomorrow. And I think that's it. As Rush for Sure always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Night, Frank.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. A member of the DLF family of podcasts. And a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.